Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday, and welcome to Miracle Outreach Ministries on Sunday. I'm Pastor Sabrina, and we are so happy and so thrilled that we live to see this day, because this is the day that the Lord has made, We will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, the prophets of old looked toward our day, but didn't quite understand everything that the scriptures were telling them. They wanted to peer into the time that we live. When we read the Bible, especially the Old Testament, we have a tendency to look at the scriptures and say, well, that was just in the olden days back there, you know. That was a long time ago. And we don't quite fully understand the relevance that those scriptures have on our present day life. So if you're one of those individuals who think that the Old Testament really doesn't matter today, you need to change that point of view. You need a new attitude. Amen? Because they are extremely relevant. In fact, the New Testament blossoms out of the Old. Amen? The New Testament blossoms out of the Old. Have you ever seen a plant? It came up, it grew, it did what it was supposed to do. But when winter came, it died away. And you were just going to yank it up out of the soil, but something said, no, leave it there. And behold, when spring came, an entire new shoot came up, and it began to take over where the old was, and now it's the predominant plant. Amen? Well, in that same manner, we need to know that the Old Testament and the New Testament are married together. We have one Lord. Amen? We have one Lord. He does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And at this season, Christians, the blood-bought, the redeemed of the Lord, celebrate his victory on our behalf. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. We celebrate his victory on our behalf. We talked not too long ago about he came to save that which is lost. He came to redeem our souls. He came to put an end to the works of the devil, to destroy the works of the devil. That's a lot to be grateful for, saints, and we don't take it seriously enough. Amen? We don't take it seriously enough. The devil can't just snatch you at his will. You got to give him a little leeway. You understand? You got to help him out just a little bit, even if it's by ignorance. So today we celebrate the overwhelming victory of our Lord and Savior, and we share in his victory. How is that? We are in him, and he is in us. We are in him, and he is in us. And in so, we share in the blessing of his victory and triumph. Amen? The devil can't just snatch us and drag us off to wherever he wants when he gets ready. We are the redeemed. We were bought back from the devil's slave auction. We were brought back from the devil's slave auction. So we want to thank the Lord that we are not slaves. We want to thank the Lord that we are not slaves. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a new way every day. Amen. Praise God. How about it? Amen. I know you want to know what's so funny, but never mind. We're not going to tell you today. We're just going to chuckle and go, there goes Pastor again. Amen. It's great to be a Christian. It's the most satisfying experience of my life. There have been challenges. There have been troubles and trials and joys and exaltation. Glorious. Ah, I remember the first time I saw the glory cloud come into a church and cover the entire congregation. I went, wow. Let me tell you something about the glory cloud. It sparkles. You know those little lights they put up, the little tiny white ones everywhere trying to make things sparkle? That's trash. Just forget that. That's nothing. That is trash. The glory cloud glistens. And you'll never forget it if you ever experience it. I was a child when that happened. I was a young person. I hadn't been to college. In fact, I don't think I was out of high school. And the church that I was a part of, that denomination was having I won't call it a get-together because we had classes on Edward Waters College campus. And all the young people came from all over in the little towns in Florida, and our churches sent us in as representatives. And in Lee Auditorium, I think that's what it's called, or what's it called? Yes. The auditorium on that campus at the time. No, that's in Tallahassee. Got it, Lord. Okay. When we went in the auditorium, you wouldn't believe this. Outside, there were old men, winos is what we call them, and they were trying to seduce the young girls going in. But they looked so horrible, who would speak to them? Well, they did. They looked awful. Or maybe I was seeing in the spirit and didn't know it. But they looked horrid to me. And I was like, stay away from me. And I walked right past them, and so did everybody else. But when we got inside, all of those teens, all of those young people, we began to sing church songs to Jesus. And we got lost in the worship. And I opened my eyes and looked up, and I saw the most marvelous sight I had ever seen in my life. And at the time, I didn't know it was called the glory cloud. I had no idea that it actually had a name until I started hanging around Pentecostal people. And then when they described it, and then they attached that verbiage to it, I said, oh, I know what that is. But after that day, I went home to talk to my grandmother. I went home to talk to Dear. And I said, Dear, the most wonderful thing happened today. And I started telling her about us and about Jesus, and he came to church. And she looked at me and said, something's changed. I said, yes. You see, heaven's not what people think. Heaven is a wondrous place. And when we all get to heaven, we'll sing and shout the victory, but don't wait till then to shout. Don't wait till there. Get your warm-ups done here. Amen? Don't wait till we get to heaven to shout. Get your warm-up done here. Get up every day thanking the Lord that you're alive and here to serve him in the earth. You can still win somebody to Christ that day. Get up thanking the Lord that you can still pray and intercede and see changes in our world. Get up that day thinking, Lord, what do you have for me to do today? What word do you want me to hide in my heart so that when my path collides with that person I'm supposed to witness to, the word comes rolling out like a fountain. I don't even have to think about it. It just flows out of me. There's a river of life that's supposed to be flowing out from you. Amen? It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. If it's not, you need to stir it up. You need to stir it up. You need to stir up the gift of God in you. That's your job. No, that's not my job to come use a spoon to stir you up. I just don't do it that way, dear. That's your job to stay on fire for Jesus. It's your job to stay hot for God.
It's your job to avoid lukewarmness. It's your job not to have a cold heart. It's your job to be thankful and grateful and appreciative and forever praising him. That's your job. Amen? Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Some of us still remember that song exists. You see, nowadays in the modern church, if that's what you want to call it, they want everybody to be entertained or floating out in the side of their mind somewhere, but that's not it. You see, when you actually yield yourself to God, he comes down to meet with you. He's never far away, but you have to praise him. You know, there have been those of you that have written me, and I've encouraged you to get into praise and worship with the Lord and pour out your heart in praise and worship and press in until God comes to meet with you. And I think some of you don't quite have the picture, but that's because you didn't go far enough. You have to go until you are lost in his presence. Mm-hmm. And the information that we give you when we fast is just the platform. You're supposed to press on beyond that. That's right. You're supposed to press into the very presence of Almighty God. And you don't need a choir to do it. You can be your own choir. You have 10 fingers. These are your instruments of praise. I don't sing that well. Jesus didn't ask you to do that. He asked you to praise him. He didn't ask you to compare your voice to anybody else's voice because your voice is unique to him. And he wants to hear praise coming from you. But he didn't ask for your evaluation. It's his evaluation that really counts. See, what if everybody sang soprano and nobody sang tenor, nobody sang alto, and nobody sang bass? Well, that's not but so harmonious. It's like having a guitar and all you pluck is one string. Each string has a significance and a different vibration from others. But when they're all put together, you get beautiful music if you know how to play. Amen? So, God wants to hear the string that you are. He wants to hear the note that sounds when you sing. It doesn't matter whether you like it or not, or the dog likes it or not. It's not for the dog. It's for Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, I want you to remember that. That's right, Shakira. That's right. That's exactly right. You see, saints, we're getting ready to take Holy Communion in a minute. But first, we're going to pray this prayer. It comes from Psalm 69, verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Lord God, I will praise you and adore you. You alone are worthy of praise, for you are the creator of all things. In you, all things hold together. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. We will sing unto you and we will sing praises to you because you are our Lord God. In trust and obedience, we praise your name. We praise you, Lord, according to your righteousness. We will sing praises to your name, O Lord Most High. Through your grace, we will praise your name forever, forever and ever and evermore. When we offer praise to you, Lord, we know we are glorifying you. And we know this brings us both great joy and blessing. Let our mouths be filled with your praise and honor all day long, Father. We will sing of your mercies forever. With our mouths, we will make known your faithfulness to all generations. It is a good thing to give thanks unto you, O Lord, and to sing praises unto your name. We want always to show forth your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Because of who you are, Lord, and all that you've done, we are able to offer the sacrifice of praise to you continually, and it is our desire to do so. It pleases us, Lord, to be able to give you the fruit of our lips, even praise to your name. Thank you, Father, for everything. Amen. Thank you, Father, for everything. It came from Psalm 69, verse 30. Amen. Praise God. So, I want to thank the Lord for this day. This day has never existed before. We've never seen this one before. And once it's gone, we'll have another day to replace it. Amen? Amen. So, we're going to participate in Holy Communion. This is what the Lord asked us to do in remembrance of him. And every time we participate in Holy Communion, we get to repent if we want to. You see, we have the grace to repent. Everybody doesn't have that grace. I believe there was someone in the Bible who sold his birthright, who sought for a place of repentance and could not find it. So we should not take true repentance for granted. It is the grace of God toward us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before you thanking you for this opportunity to clear the plate once again, to remove all that that displeases you and that we wish we hadn't had it quite that way. We ask for your mercy, the mercies that are new every morning, and we thank you for your grace and your mighty power. We give you praise, glory, and honor for all that you're doing, Father, in Jesus' holy name. Now, Lord, each of us will take a moment and speak to you those things that are required and those things that have to do with our own personal repentance. And we thank you that you have already told us that when we confess our faults, you are just and faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you, Father. You may begin. Ricciaro shala la le osur regisa la le yokura la le diakai. Isha relele sur regisa da broca kai. Roma baba resile la le osur robunde de brescia cade da brescia kia tarabare. Rala la le osur regisa de rabare. My children, listen. Your pastor has called you to praise and worship. Some of you have been to the doctors, and some of you have been to the hospitals. And some of you have been to the pharmacy. But if you would get in my presence, I will solve your needs. There's healing in Holy Communion. The cup of blessing, which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, thank you, Lord, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Partake of the bread. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord. Partake of the cup. Thank you, Lord. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show or proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh For he that eateth and drinketh, that's better, unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or are dead. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah for not being condemned with the world. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, saints, God has given us a wonderful day to experience with him. You know, when we walk through this life, we don't walk alone. There's no way for us to be alone. We have entirely too much company. We have the Godhead within us and with us, and we have a host of angels that he's assigned to us to keep us in line. Amen?
Amen?
And keep us out of all kinds of hurt, harm, and danger. So even if we can't find any people, we're not alone. Amen?
Amen?
So when you get that idea in your mind that I'm alone, tell yourself to stop lying. Amen? Because you are not telling the truth. Amen. Just tell yourself, okay, that wasn't the truth. That was a lie. I need to stop that. I need to stop that now. Praise the Lord. So today, we're going to have what we refer to as a sermon. sermon. Yes. You know, we do this all the time together, you and I. We get together in the Word of God, and God talks to us, and he gets our attention, and he's going to do it again today. Amen? So today, we're going to talk about this. Drive Satan out. Drive him out. Drive him out. It doesn't mean put him in your car and drive him to the corner. That's not what God means. Okay? I know some of you thought that probably was what I was talking about. No, that's not what the Spirit of God is saying. He's meaning for you to drive Satan out of your life and maybe out of the lives of some of your loved ones. Drive him out, you know. There are spirits that are stubborn, very stubborn. And, you know, you've done this and you've done that and it hasn't left and it hasn't left. And maybe you do need some agreement. But maybe God wants you to press the battle a bit more. Maybe that's what he wants. Or maybe he's trying to teach you many new ways of doing that. Amen? Amen. So we're going to talk about driving Satan out. Saints, God is making us to war like Jesus did. He is making us, molding us, shaping us, developing us to war like Jesus did. Jesus has a war name, Lord Sabaoth, the Lord God of war. Our God is a man of war. And God is making us to war like Jesus did. And no, he did not do it rubbing his eyes. I'm sleepy. No, he didn't do it like that. He was fully awake, fully attuned, and he hadn't eaten for 40 days or 40 nights. Isn't that exciting, Saint? Okay, y'all not half as excited as you ought to be. Lord, is she getting ready to do that to us? Is that what she going to do? I can hear that thing going in your head right now. Well, he didn't say do that just yet, okay? Amen. Jesus demonstrated that he was a mighty warrior in battle. He wielded the all-powerful, indestructible weapon of the written word of God. It is written, coming forth from his mouth was and is sharp, piercing, and penetrating. In the wilderness, Satan came to Jesus three times, tempting him to sin. In Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 8, Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 8, it reads as following. Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain. Okay, so that means air's kind of thin up there. And showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Wow. So after the devil had to run away, the angels came and strengthened Jesus. They ministered to him. No, they did not bring him a cup of coffee. No. N-O, that's not where I went. They came and ministered to him on a supernatural level. Amen? So, in these verses, on the third attempt, Jesus again used the power of the written word to overcome temptation and drive Satan out. Let me give you that again. Jesus used the power of the written word to overcome temptation and drive Satan out. Jesus knew that God and his word are inseparable. He understood that God's word is eternal. Ah, eternal. Psalm 119, verse 89. Psalm 119, verse 89. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Settled, as in established, as in unchangeable and unalterable. Is that a word? It is now. It won't change. Verse 160, Psalm 119, verse 160. Psalm 119, verse 160. Thy word is truth from the beginning. Thy word is truth from the beginning. And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. So God's word is not going to change just because we don't particularly like it. Amen? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. That's why you can tell your children and your grandchildren, God said thus and so. And no matter what happens after that, no matter how long you live or if you go on, that word will still be going on. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. The word of the Lord endures forever, saints. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Eternal means lasting forever, without end or beginning, and unchangeable. God's word is unchangeable. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Perhaps some of you have heard this verse before. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So, God's word is of infinite duration. God's word is infallible. 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise. Okay, Holy Spirit, let's see if I can find it. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That was wonderful. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform. I will hasten my word to perform it. I will hasten my word to perform it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God's word is impregnable. What does that mean, Pastor? I don't know that word yet. Okay, we're going to go there. It is strong enough to resist or withstand attack. It is strong enough to resist or withstand attack. It cannot be taken by force. It cannot be taken by force. Communism cannot take down the word of God. It doesn't have the power. It is unconquerable. Really? Yes. That's why you can tell your children, your grandmama could tell you things out of the word of God. And it mattered all these years later, because she was right, because she was standing on the word. She was giving you what thus saith the Lord. John chapter 6. I'm sorry, John chapter 10, verse 35. John chapter 10, the Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 35. John chapter 10, verse 35. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. Somebody needs to highlight that part in their Bible. Unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. The scripture cannot be broken. Isaiah 55, beginning with verse 10. Isaiah 55, beginning with verse 10. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning with verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. it shall not return unto me void, non-productive, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And nobody and nothing can stop it.
Amen.
Nobody and nothing can stop it. Luke chapter 1, 37. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 37. For with God, with the word of God, the living word and the written word, nothing shall be impossible. For with God, the written word, the living word, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. Nothing shall be impossible. God's word is alive, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Psalm 33, verse 6. Psalm 33, verse 6. Psalm 33 and verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Verse 9. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. So do we understand? God opened his mouth and spoke, and his breath brought forth what was needed. So why do you think, because you need something that you don't know where to find it, you don't know how to get to it, that God can't handle it? The scriptures look at you like, really? Seriously? Are you serious? Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It is the power of God unto salvation. God's power released. Evidently it works because you're here listening today. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Through faith, through believing what God said, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Every galaxy, every universe was framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God's smarter than us, isn't he? He's wiser than us, too. Jesus knew as he spoke forth that the power of God would drive Satan out. Satan had to obey. He could not withstand the power of the word. After Satan's third attempt, he retreated in defeat. He retreated in defeat. He retreated in defeat. Throughout this encounter, Jesus used the written word as a weapon against Satan, similar to the warfare in the chat room as we pray. Got that? Saints, God wants us to be aware of those who are distorting God's word. Just as Satan twisted and used the written word against Jesus, he will try to use it against you as well. He will attempt to distort the word until you are confused and don't know what to think. Well, guess what? At any given point, somewhere on your cell phone, you can punch in part of the scripture that you're trying to get straight in your mind. And guess what happens? The scripture will come up. If you've got one of those Bible apps on there and you put it on the King James Version, and you said, I thought that scripture said this, and you punch in part of it, it'll pull it up just the way it's printed. Okay? If you open your print Bible and go to the page, you'll probably find some place where you highlighted it already. My, what a wonderful thing. Amen. Saints, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Satan will attempt to get you to doubt whether or not God means what he has said. Well, we just took care of that in the scriptures that we read, didn't we? When you need healing, he will try to cause you to doubt the word. When you need healing, he will try to get you to doubt the word. Does God's word really say that by his stripes you are healed? That doesn't really mean that he will heal your body. Really? Well, let's go to Exodus 15. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, either you're going to believe him or you're not. You're going to hold on to what he said or you're not. You have to decide. There can't be any doubt and there can't be any fear. There can't be any unbelief. Amen? So you have to get your hindrances out of the way. Because you see, your blessing is right there. It's waiting to come through. Don't you put any hindrances in the way. Well, how do I know if I have a hindrance? Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He is your helper. If you ask him, he'll answer you. Amen? So the devil will say, you don't have enough faith. Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Let's go to Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Something's a little, well, why didn't it work? Because of your unbelief. Why? For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, Ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing, here it is again, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Faith is a grain of mustard seed. Now, you know, I put that mustard seed up there in the chat room for you all before. It's not a big seed at all. You need some magnifying just to see the thing. It's not something that would impress you just by looking at it. But you see, inside the mustard seed is all you need for that huge tree. It just needs to be put in the right condition. It's to be planted in the ground, and it needs some water, like rain, and some sunshine, and pretty much to be left alone. Amen? I wouldn't advise you to go sit on it if you want it to grow. That's just not the way we do fertilizer here. So tell the dog to move on. Amen? But it will grow and grow and grow and grow into that big tree that I posted in the chat room. So evidently the mustard seed must believe that. It must already see down inside that it can be what it was intended to be. And all it needs is the right conditions, and nothing shall be impossible to you. We got that? So, miracle, get the message. When Satan tries this tactic on you, you must be so full of the written word that you will be able to respond immediately by speaking out the word. The point that I want you to realize is that unless you have the written word inside of you, you are going to be shaken. Life isn't going to be as nice as it is right now. We're going deeper into the end time. That's right. And unless unless you have the written word inside of you, you are going to be shaken. People are already tribulated. Sleeplessness. They can't go to sleep. And George Soros says there's something climatic going to happen and end the whole world of all people. Seriously. You. You will not be able to stand during the final shaking that God has promised to send upon the earth. You've got to be full of the written word of God. Luke chapter 21, beginning with verse 25. Jesus is telling you that times are going to get rougher and tougher. Times, you know, Jacksonville is a military installation. That's really what it is. And I told the people that were at my mother's funeral. I said, we live on a military installation. We've got every branch of the military right here. Not to boot, if we spit, we'll hit a submarine. If we spit, even if you got a watermelon seed in your mouth, we will hit a submarine. We have every branch of the military right here. And if somebody's going to drop a bomb, this would be a good place to drop it, don't you think? So if you pray, then you can't be running and scared about the bullets that they're shooting in your neighborhood. Because we live on a military installation. What is a couple of bullets? Either your shield of faith is going to work or it's not. Make up your mind. They shooting. So what? They've been shooting forever. Okay? And everybody ain't dead. So now either you're going to be battle ready, you're going to be ready to war like Jesus, or not. You cannot be shaking in your shoes, miracle. You got to be ready to stand. And if you happen to live in one of these neighborhoods where just about everybody has a gun, you're in a safe place. It's one of the best places to be. If you live on one of those sides of the town where everybody's scared and complacent and passive, you don't know what may happen. You better be ready. But if you live on the side of town where you know 9/10 of the people got a gun, and if you run out of ammo, you can run down the street and get some, you're doing good. I threatened a possum one day at about 6:45 in the morning. I came outside, and the lady next door told me she was scared of that possum. And I had seen him in my backyard because he came through the back fence. And I yelled out the bathroom window, and I told him, get out of my yard. Well, he eventually left, but he went to the front yard under her bushes. So I went outside at the crack of dawn, and I yelled at him. I said, get out of this neighborhood. I said, if you don't, I'm going to my neighbor's house, and I'm borrowing his gun, and I'm going to shoot you in the rump. And that's the last I saw him, was his rump moving down the hill. I haven't seen his rump since. And no sign that his rump was coming back either. That means possums understand English at the crack of dawn. Now, got that? So don't think they don't understand what was said. Amen. So, I want you to know that you're going to have to toughen up, church. You're going to have to toughen up. You can't sit back and have this lackadaisical point of view that, oh, things are just going to get better. No, we're headed toward the end. Things are going to get worse. But you can't be falling apart because everybody else is. You can't go visit the lady down the street and pick up her spirit of fear and take it back to your house. Do we understand? You can't pick up other people's demons. Now, when you get to the point that God begins to show you your best friend's demons, because they're moving from one shade to a darker shade to a darker shade, and it's not sun that's doing it, they haven't been to a tanning booth, you need to know it's time to disconnect. We teach you all these things for you to put them in motion. But if you sit back and don't, you'll suffer for it. Because God's going to look at it this way. I taught you. Why aren't you doing what I said? Why call me Lord and not do the things I tell you to do? Amen? Amen. That's the way it goes, you know? That really is. So I'm going to say this again. I want you to realize that unless you have the written word inside of you, you are going to be shaken. You're not going to get out of it. Because Jesus said so. We already know that Jesus has said that in the days which precede his coming, there will be many false prophets who will deceive many. Not a few, many. Matthew chapter 24, verse 11. Matthew chapter 24, verse 11. Matthew chapter 24, verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise. He didn't say a few. he said many, and shall deceive many, not a few, many. Whatever false prophets have been telling half the was body of Christ, then it's okay for LGBTQIA plus to hang out in your church and not change from LGBTQIA plus to a born-again believer filled with the Spirit of God, overcoming and devils cast out. If that's the church you're in, you got problems. He said his word isn't changing. And not only do you have record of his expressed intent, you have a recording of his judgment of such already with Sodom and Gomorrah. You have a full-blown judgment. I want to remind you something of that judgment when you read it again. It was not just the abominable that got the judgment. The other people that were living there and hanging out there and didn't want to leave there because they liked the lifestyle there, they got it too. Everybody in Sodom wasn't a pervert because Lot's daughters had husbands that were coming. They were engaged to be married, but they wouldn't listen to their father-in-law, and they lost it too. So if you're hanging up with that crowd, I'll see you later. It's serious. It's extremely serious. I have members of my family. I love them. I'll pray for them. I'll pray that Jesus gets them out of their craziness before they leave here. But if not, he said what he said, he meant what he meant, and he's not changing. Amen. Praise God. So, Matthew 24. Verses 4 through 5. Matthew 24, verses 4 through 5. Same chapter. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. You know they got one plan to come. And shall deceive many. Why? Because the written word isn't in them. Amen. Today, there is a treacherous danger in the worldly church of preachers trying to use the word deceitfully. They are taking words out of context and are stretching and pulling them to fit their own philosophy. You know, if you got itching ears, there's a preacher that'll scratch it, but I'm not the one. They are all over YouTube and all the religious channels and networks. They are everywhere. Did I ever tell you about the Miracle Spring Water? Good, I won't. Did I ever tell you about the Miracle Spring Water? I won't. The Miracle Spring Water preacher used to come on the radio certain times of day, evidently as I was getting off work, because I'd turn on the radio and go, what is this? If you send your money in, he'll send you some Miracle Spring Water. Uh-huh. And so I let him keep his Miracle Spring Water, and I went home and got the water out my refrigerator. And I kept my money and my stamp. I hope you're wise enough to do the same thing. Okay? I know they'll tell you that they have a prayer call that came from Israel. I've been to Israel four times. If that's what you need, take your own call to Israel and bring it back. And you'll have a prayer call from Israel too. Okay, all righty. Now, some of them are slicker than that. But the bottom line is the bottom line. Either it's of God or it isn't. And you need to be astute enough in God to know when it's not. And if you don't know, you have the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of what? That's right, the Spirit of truth. And he is your helper. He will help you get it right. So now, do you have an excuse? Thank you. Not to mention, you can fast and pray and get a hot answer from God. Isn't that exciting? You don't have any need for such. And besides, if you pull up the website and go to almost any sermon, somebody will be casting a demon out, and surely yours can lead too. Amen. They're on YouTube. They're on every religious channel and every religious network. Saints, the policy in this ministry is listed in the MIC chat room every weekday service. That's Wednesday and Friday. And it reads thusly, that to examine, investigate, or evaluate in a thorough or expert way. Saints, you are not allowed to take persons or practices or customs or traditions into your personal life, which have not been vetted by who? God, the Holy Spirit. Who have not been vetted by God, the Holy Spirit. That's the church policy. That's the ministry policy. It would be nice if the members paid attention to it, but that is the ministry policy. Many of you are not aware of this policy because you have never read the regular announcements when they are posted before the service during the week. All you got to do is scroll up and read them, and they don't change. Who does the vetting? God, the Holy Spirit. We got that now? This also means that you may not listen to TV preachers or YouTube preachers or any ministry which God the Holy Spirit has not granted you permission to interact with. God is busy cleaning you up, washing you up, getting you turned the right way. And what do you want to do? Act like the dog that returned to his vomit. God's not on that program. He doesn't appreciate that. And he won't bless it. Here he has scrubbed you and said, well, okay, this one's clean now. And the next thing you do, you head straight for the wrong thing. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to go. Amen. Yes, God and this ministry attempts to keep you from much of your own ignorance and lack of proper judgment. Wandering into the wrong ministry can actually fill you with demons. Yet too many persons have itching ears. There are all kinds of doctrines floating around today based upon one or two Bible verses taken without power. Wait a minute, that's the wrong page. Hold on. Taken out of context. One thing about it, when you wrote it, you know what it says. Yet many saints fail to follow the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not going to lead you somewhere to get entertained. He's too busy trying to keep you straight so that when things jump off and he takes the church out, you'll be with him. He's working too hard for you to go run around, playing around, hear the, well, I heard that this prophet had blah, 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 blah. Said, mm-hmm, yeah. And he's going to say, yeah, you got a prophet in your Bible. Go home. Yet many saints fail to follow the Holy Spirit. Instead, They charge ahead with itching ears and are willing to be deceived. There is a demon called that, by the way. Willing to be deceived. I want to be gullible no matter what you tell me. Okay. They prefer a gospel which is easy on the flesh. They prefer an entertaining gospel rather than the crucifixion of the flesh. They are undisciplined and easy pickings for Satan. Many of them have the false Holy Spirit, not the one that was sent to earth on the day of Pentecost. We call it Kundalini. You know, you hung around in this dirty, murky water till you picked up that serpent out of that murky water. You know, some of you have friends that do that. They dabble in this ministry and that ministry and this ministry and don't have the foggiest notion what you do. And he says he's a shaman from Africa, really. And you still talking to that friend. See, when they said that to you, it was to hit you in your head so your brain would turn on and go, shaman from Africa. That don't sound holy to me. Something wrong with that. So you're supposed to have that much sense. Something ain't right about this. You should be bothered. You may not understand all the details, but something just isn't right. But no, you want to keep cavorting with this person and talking with, and after one day the Lord says, okay, I keep trying to get your attention, but you won't pay attention to me. So the next thing you know, that demon is jumping on you. And then you want to, pastor, what's wrong? And then I began to point out to you where you messed up. God's been showing you all along something is wrong with your friend. They might have been okay when you all got started, but somewhere along the line, they went left. And when they made that turn, you should have hopped right off of that. That's it. Time to cut it off. No explanation, no argument, none of that needed, just that's it. So it'll keep you out of trouble. Amen. But some of us don't want to do it. We want to hold on forever. I don't think it's going to work like that. I'm certain it isn't. So you have to understand that God wants you pure. Many of them that have this false Holy Spirit, when you look in their eyes, if the Lord allows you to see, you'll see snake eyes. Isn't that right? That's right. And you need to take off. Feet don't fail me now. And you don't, no explanation, just shut it down. Drop it like it's hot. How about that? Can you get it? Drop down. Quick. So, if you listen to them, their demons will traffic to you. See, you don't have any business being in constant conversation with wizards and witches and warlocks and sorcerers and shamans and such. You don't have any business because there is no fellowship between Christ and Belial, the devil. That's out of your association group. It's a group that you're not allowed to associate with. That's why our vetting policy is posted. You're not allowed to take on customs that just say, okay, you want to go to the Holy Spirit. He said, I can go there. Okay? So, I celebrate Kwanzaa. Okay? Let me tell you something. I don't need a made-up religion. Woo! I don't need a made-up holiday. based on really some sin. Rejection of the truth of the Holy Scripture. I don't need some made-up holiday so all the people with skin the same hue as mine can all get together. We can get together just fine over some barbecue, some fried chicken, some potato salad, and the rest of the trimming. We don't need a fake religion. And we don't need a fake holiday. We got plenty of holidays. This is our very best holiday, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did I say it right? Beware of them, miracle. Beware of them. Remember, the word of God is infallible. It is incapable of deceiving or misleading. But Satan, working through moving lips of men, will try to deceive you away from the pure, undefiled word of God. Peter warned the believers in the early church to be on guard. So, miracle, be on guard. So that you will not be carried away by the error of men who are distorting the scriptures. Well, I don't think he would deceive me on purpose. Well, did it ever occur to you he might be deceived too? Saints, you cannot follow God by your emotion. You must follow God with his word. Many Christians do not know the scripture. They've been in church their whole life, but they don't know the scripture. Nor do they exalt the word of God over their own opinion. They have a, well, I don't see what's wrong with the gay people. Well, that's not what the scripture says. And if you go down to the farm animals will say, we don't do it like that, okay? Nor do they exalt the word of God over their own opinion. They'll sing any song to God as long as they like the beat and the rhythm. Saints, the lyrics must line up with scripture. It is extremely important. There are scriptures that you can, that you come to understand better as you mature in the Lord. But there are wolves in sheep's clothing who were sent in order of the devil. Set in order of the devil to take advantage of the unlearned and weak ones. So you must be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless persons and so fall away from your own secure position. Is that plain enough? Saints, we are called to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The only way that you're going to know if the word you are hearing are pure is the pure unadulterated word of God is for you to get the written word of God in you. There can be no substitute. There are many good books today. Various teachings and Bible help, but you must not allow these to take precedence over the written word of God. The word of God must be first. The scriptures must be first. We strongly encourage you to play the Holy Scriptures over yourself as much as possible, since you may not be able to read 24 hours a day. Yes, play the scriptures even when you are asleep. Yes, yes, yes. You need an atmosphere that is charged with the true and living God. You need an atmosphere that is charged with the true and living God. You need an atmosphere that is charged with the presence of the true and living God. It's not something you can take, well, I'll do it today, but not tomorrow. You don't understand what time you live in. This is a must needs be kind of thing. You need air, you need the Word of God. The Word cleanses us spiritually. The Word, you're being washed in the water of the Word of God. It changes us spiritually. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal, how shall a young man cleanse his way? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. That's plain, simple, and to the point. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 25. I got it straight. See there? All right, I'm starting in the middle of the verse because I can. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You feel dirty? That spirit of defilement is on you from being around the world all week? Get under the word and take a bath. Amen. Saints, we must feed on the word, not just devour Christian shows. We must feed on the word. Job chapter 23, verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I have esteemed or valued the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Bread is a staple in the diet, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone. He didn't say you weren't supposed to ever have any. He said, that's not all. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. You're going to need the word in order to grow. No word, no growth. Amen. We're getting it. By speaking forth the written word, Jesus defeated Satan in the wilderness. The words coming forth from his mouth were like powerful weapons armed directly at the enemy. Saints, we must use this same strategy as we face Satan and the trials, tests, and problems he brings into our lives. Before we can begin to speak the word as Jesus did and drive Satan out of the circumstances of our lives, we must learn how to live in and by the word of God. We've got to learn how to live in and by the word of God, since God's word is our manual. And it's our manna. It's our manual, and it's our manna. What manna was to them, the word of God is to us. After having fasted 40 days and nights, Jesus was hungry. Okay? His body had exhausted its resources. It was at the point of physical strength that Satan arose to tempt him. Yes, when you're tired and you're weary and well-doing, that's a good place for him to jump on you. Try to remember that. Don't forget that. That's important to remember. So, Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." These words were based in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. These words were based from the Old Testament, out of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 3. And I'll read it to you. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. "And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." We got that now? Moses was reminding the children of Israel of God's continual provision for them during 40 years that they wandered in the wilderness. So I wonder why God had to remind them of facts and truths that they should never have forgotten. Why are the saints still that way today? Some even own journals to record the works of God in their lives. Yet whenever the next challenge arises, they behave as though there is little to no history of the work of God with them. What? Are you doing this? During the Israelites' 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, God provided a daily supply. A daily supply, yes. As in, give us this day our daily bread. A daily supply. Yes, a daily supply of manna, which was their only source of food. Yes, as in supplying all your need according to his riches and glory. Yes, as in the Lord is my shepherd, so I shall not want. Every day God rained down only enough manna from heaven to strengthen them for one day. Neither did the angels in heaven starve. Because, see, they were eating angel food. But the angels had enough, and they had enough too. God did this to teach the Israelites to rely and depend on him. Has Miracle learned this yet? He wanted them to recognize him as their only source of strength and to live and to be guided by the words that he had given them. Has Miracle learned this yet? If not, why not? This manna was a type of Jesus, the living word, whom the Father sent from heaven. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, beginning with verse 49. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, beginning with verse 49. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, beginning with verse 49. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. This bread which cometh down from heaven, this bread which cometh down from heaven that a man may eat thereof and not, verse 57, John chapter 6, verse 57. As the Father, as the living Father hath sent me, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. See the correlation? As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Jesus is the bread of life that comes down from heaven so that we may eat and not die. So Jesus is saying to us, just as he lived through the Father, when we continue to feed on Jesus, when we take him as our food and as our nourishment and are nourished by him, we shall live through him. Jesus, the living word, is our only source of strength. Just as it was necessary for the Israelites to gather manna every day, daily, Miracle must draw our strength and nourishment from him. Miracle must come to a realization that we cannot go one day, one hour, one moment without him. The same is true with the written word. Jesus said that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every single day, Miracle must feed on the written word until we are saturated. Yes, until our hearts and minds are filled with his word and in overflow. Just as the living word in us continually, the written word must also live in us continually. It is not enough to simply read a chapter or two each day, or even to memorize a few scriptures. We must discipline ourselves and make getting the word into our spirits top priority. Just as our natural bodies crave food and must have it to survive, our spiritual bodies also must have food. The written and the living word to survive. We must search the word to see if the words we are hearing or reading in these supplemental materials are actually true. How do I know this? Well, there's a great example in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. There's this great example of this in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. We're talking about the Berean Christians now. In that they received the word with all readiness of mind. My mind is ready to pick this apart with the scriptures and see if you're telling the truth. Readiness of mind and search the scriptures daily. D-A-I-L-Y. And search, S-E-A-R-C-H-E-D. And search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. All right? Okay. I'm glad we got that. Praise the name of the Lord. We must meditate on the word morning, noon, and night. You mean that? Yes. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts, O Lord God of war. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of war. Deuteronomy. Chapter 6, verse 7. Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 7. Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 7. Ah, that every parent would do this. Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently. It didn't say once a month. It says, and thou shalt teach them diligently with discipline and purpose and consistency unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So I don't see where you got time for video games. I don't see where you have time for video games. I just don't. So you're supposed to teach them diligently. When you're in the house, you're supposed to do this. When you're out someplace else in the public, you're supposed to do that. When you're lying down, you're supposed to do this. And when you get up, you're supposed to do it. So where does that leave video games? You know, we have supposed adults that act and behave like teenagers. They come home from work, and they get on their phones or their tablets, and they're playing these video games. See, when you leave teenage, you're supposed to leave it behind you. You're not supposed to drag teenage into young adult. We understand that? You're supposed to leave teenage in teenage, and you're not supposed to drag it into young adult. You're supposed to mature, but this present culture doesn't want to grow up. They've got songs talking about, I'm not going to grow up. They got a movie with a Barbie doll talking about she ain't gonna grow up. But I want you to know, if you don't grow up, you will be cursed, because the scriptures command you to do so. And when I became a man, I put away childish sin.
to go in the opposite direction walks you into the curse. You must needs be grow up, not just as a Christian, but as a human being. Your childish, backward attitude, you need to leave them where you found them and never go back again. You're not supposed to act like the dog that returns to his vomit. You are the redeemed of the Lord, and your life is supposed to say so.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So, we must search the word to see the promises that belong to us. Miracle must depend upon the written word to direct us every day what to say, what to think, what to do. It is through the written word that Christ reveals himself to us. It is through the written word that Christ reveals himself to us. It is through the written word that Christ reveals himself to us, which is why we don't play around with all them strange versions. Okay? Get it straight? It is the written word that liberates us from every bondage of the enemy. The Gospel of John, chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. The Gospel of John, chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. The Gospel of John, chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It is through the written word that we have access to the promises of God and have been made partakers of the divine nature. Miracle needs God's divine nature. Miracle needs God's divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1. Beginning with verse 3, 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Well, how are you going to get it if you're not in the written word? That hath called us to glory and virtue. To glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. That by these exceeding great and precious promises, ye might be participants, partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption. Here it is. We've been talking about corruption. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There's an escape. He said there would be. He gave you a way of escape. Here it is. But you got to take hold of it. Amen. It is through the written word that our thoughts and the true intentions of our hearts are exposed. Remember, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Well, there's a way. There's a way. It's through the written word. Can you believe it? Well, God wouldn't leave you standing there with no answers. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick, it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing. Yes, it pierces. It doesn't just wave in the air. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of your soul and your spirit, man, and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It'll show you up for who you really are. And you won't be able to deny it. There'll be no gainsaying. It is through Christ, it is through the written word that we are authorized to act on Christ's behalf and in the power and authority of his name. We have been given the legal right to use Jesus' name to confront Satan and take authority over all his works and drive him out. But unless we have the written word in us, we will not be able to speak the word forth in power as Jesus and the believers did in the early church. And it's real. It's real. And if we fail to speak it forth, that powerful force will not be released into the circumstances and in the lives of our loved ones. If it doesn't come out of your mouth, it won't be released to them or to you either. One of the reasons why there are Christians confessing and claiming the word who are not seeing the results is because, are you ready for it? Is because the written word is not in them. The written word hasn't taken its full place in their lives. Wow. They are not living in and by the word of God. See, there's no power failure on God's end. It's up to you to flip the switch. Amen. There is no power failure on God's end. But we all know that it's up to you to flip the switch. Amen. So, let's pray. I've talked long enough. You're going to need to recast it anyway, because I've talked longer than I usually do. Amen? God means business, church. You know, we're watching the things that are happening in the earth, but we need to know that we are except, thank you, Holy Spirit. I appreciate that. You remember those of you, you don't have to admit the truth if you don't want to, but God knows, the demons know, and you know. Did you went to see Star Wars at some point, or at least a clip from it? And you saw Chewbacca and that funny-looking ship. And they were going at one speed trying to chuck along out there in the darkness. Then all of a sudden, and they did it on Star Trek, too. And all of a sudden, on Star Trek, they went into warp speed. And that thing went from here to beyond where you could see. Well, guess what? We're on warp speed, okay? We are moving to the end of time at warp speed. The thing is, you can't feel the ship shaking, so you don't believe it yet. We're moving fast and hot toward the end. So now you need to, how do we put it? Seriously feed yourself the word of God. You need to get your own IV of the word of God in you. Do we understand what Pastor's saying? The further along we go, the faster we're going. We're moving faster than you realize. Why? Because you're sitting in miracle in the arms of Jesus Christ. And you don't feel any wobble in anything. Okay. You know there are children that don't believe that water's wet and fire's hot. But we all know they can learn, can't they? We are moving faster than we think. Remember when I was teaching you about angels? And I taught you that that angel one minute was in the presence of the Lord. And suddenly, he was on earth. And all the atmosphere had to move out of his way to the point that the earth had a great earthquake. And suddenly, he was there in time for Mary and the group to show up so he could say, he's risen, just like he told you. Do you know what it actually takes to move faster than the speed of light and the speed of sound? And that even the planet that were orbiting had to get out of his way. We're moving faster than you realize. The Antichrist is already here for those of you who, who is the Antichrist? It's not the revelation of the Antichrist. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, can you get that straight? Amen? The Antichrist will take care of himself. He's gay anyway. The Bible says he has no desire for a woman. You understand what that means? So you see that group of people picking up steam. Hello? So we're moving faster than you think. Things 10 years ago we were talking about have already happened, and we're on to the next thing. So it's time for you to have your own IV of the scriptures flowing into you continually. Amen. Praise the Lord. I pray that we learned something today, that God has really spoken to us. Those of us that need to be convicted are convicted, but we're not just going to brush that conviction off. We're going to do something with it. Amen? Conviction says it's time to change. That means it's time to change. Amen. It always means when God says it's time to change, it's time to change. And failure to change when he says it's time to change, we all know that's rebellion. And rebellion is the same as witchcraft. We all know that, don't we? And it's going to bring the same judgment. We know that, don't we? So we're going to be zealous to change the way God wants us to change, aren't we? Amen. Praise God. Remember this. All right. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. I choose not to resent it when you chasten and correct me, because your punishment is proof of your love for me. You want me to be better, so you correct me in love. Remember that? Good. I'm glad you do. Lord, increase my faith in you. Oh, I'm sorry. Lord Jesus, deliver me from my fears, my unbelief, and my contrariness. I realize that you have called me to change. Lord, increase my faith in you. Help me to unlearn the wrong or sin which I have embraced. and to learn your ways. Lord, help me to be truthful with you and myself. Help me to confess my fears, doubts, jealousies, envies, foolishness, inadequateness, sexual and social misbehaviors, my old ways, inherited sins, insecurities, hurts, and outright lies. Lord, help me not to take you and your grace for granted. Teach me, Lord, to dismiss my own opinion in preference for your opinion. Lord, renew my mind by your word. I humble myself before you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. I will do as you have instructed. I will do just what you said. Amen. Praise God. Rise to the benediction. I know somebody saying, but we didn't do warfare prayer, and it's the holidays. Well, the Lord said he wants you to go home and recast if you're not already home and think about what he said today. So we're going to the benediction like he just told me. All right? See, this is a live service with a live God. Who talks to your live pastor? Because she talks back to him. And she will do exactly what he says to do. She has been trained. And before that, she learned how to be whooped into submission. And some of you are having to learn it too. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I release upon every person that is listening today the convicting power of God the Holy Spirit to bring you into understanding and closer, closer, closer to the plumb line that Jesus Christ is. Amen. Pastor loves you. It's recast time. It's time to get serious with God. Whatever you're eating for Resurrection Sunday dinner, because you know this is a celebration, enjoy yourself and enjoy the Word of God. Amen. Talk to you on Wednesday, God willing. Amen.
Ooh.